Hi everyone, my name is Warren Now from Brett Photography. We specialize in family portraiture, and thank you for joining me again for episode 5 of our podcast. Today, my guest is Linda Klukas. Linda is an Arborn independent consultant. And if you don't know what Arborn is an internationally known skincare products company. Linda came to me and suggested that it'd be fantastic to talk about skincare and how to set up a skincare regime. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We also cover some other useful tips about makeup selection, as well as tips for males. I do have to admit, I've felt a little bit out of my depth during this interview. I'd be really interested to get your feedback about how I went. As always, if you have any further questions for Linda, you can ask them in the comments section below or on our Facebook's page, which is Volare Photography. So sit back, relax, and prepare yourself to be pampered as we start the interview. So I'm here today with Linda Klukas. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, Warren. Very well, thank you.
Great. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure, I'd love to. I came across Arborn about 6 months ago. I met a lady at a business expo, and she gave me a couple of samples to try at home. And those samples were skincare. And when I tried them at home, I was just blown away by the actual product. After that, I looked into the business side of things and realised that it was a business that I wanted to be involved in.
Okay.
And here I am today.
Right. And what do you do there?
At Arborn, I'm an independent consultant.
What does that mean?
What that means is that I teach women how to look after their skin. I help them with their makeup, and I also help them with their nutrition as well.
Okay, fantastic. So I did a little bit of research, and I found out that these are figures going back about 5 or 6 years ago, that the cosmetics industry is a $200 billion industry. But walking through department stores, I haven't seen the brand Arborn. Now, why is that?
Well, Warren, Arborn is a direct selling company. Arborn started in Switzerland 34 years ago. It's only been in Australia for 6 years.
Okay, 6 years, yeah.
The company is run out of America, and it's a direct selling company, which means that you can only purchase products through independent consultants like myself. What that means is that we don't spend a lot of money on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't spend money on any retail setup, which
yep.
means that the product goes directly from the manufacturer straight through to the consumer.
So why is it so popular with those users? I mean, what's unique about Arborn?
What's unique about Arborn is that we manufacture skincare and cosmetics without any harmful ingredients. So when you look at the average woman, the average woman applies over 500 toxins to her daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
That ranges from shampoo through to toothpaste to deodorant to makeup and also skincare. So Arborn is free of harmful ingredients. All of Arborn products are gluten-free.
Yep.
They are also vegan certified. And we don't test on animals, and we don't use any animal fats or animal byproducts or any mineral oils.
And you find that that attracts a lot of people because of those very
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is really the main
okay.
reason, yes.
Okay, great. So, Linda, I guess the primary purpose of these interviews is to provide useful tips and information to our listeners. So you're here today because you actually wanted to share some information regarding skincare. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So the three main questions that I get asked when I do a skincare workshop, and these are questions that are asked by women and men
yep.
and teenage girls. The three main questions are, how can I save money and get salon results at home? The second question is, what is exfoliating and why is that so important? And the third question is, what is a mask and why use a mask on your face?
Okay. But what you're going to talk to today about, it doesn't just relate to Arborn products, does it?
No. This is what I'm going to talk about is just really setting up a very simple and quick and easy daily routine that you can do at home.
So no matter what brand of cosmetics you use.
Correct.
Great. Fantastic. I'm sure our listeners can get, our female listeners as well as our male listeners can get a lot out of that. Now, I'll have to admit, when I walk through a department store, when I go through that cosmetics section, I do feel totally out of my depth. So you wouldn't mind if I ask some stupid questions today?
Sure, go right ahead, Warren.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned that these techniques that you're going to talk to today about are also for men?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And is it the same regime for men, or do they use different top products? Or
The regime that I'm going to run through does apply to men and women.
Yeah.
Men's products are slightly different just due to the nature of their skin. But essentially, it would be the same routine that they would do morning and night.
So even to make me look beautiful?
Sure, we can do that, Warren.
If you can do that, that's a miracle. Okay. Let's talk about the toxins in skincare and cosmetics. Why is that so important?
Well, the skin is the largest organ in our body. And interestingly, more chemicals actually enter through our skin than the products that we eat and drink every day. So the skin is the first line of our immune defence against bacteria and illness. So when we look at what we put on our skin, really we should be avoiding any toxins that enter the bloodstream.
Sure.
Because as soon as you put something on your skin, it is absorbed into the bloodstream within 26 seconds. So mm-hmm. it's a very fast-acting process.
Right. And so for consumers looking to buy cosmetics out there, how can they tell what toxins are in there? What should they be looking for? Should they be asking any specific questions to the outlets that they're getting these materials from?
They should be asking. They should be asking what ingredients are in the products themselves. Yep. There are ingredients such as they're well-known ingredients such as sodium lauryl sulfate. There are parabens in a lot of products out there that mm-hmm. should be avoided, and also mineral oils. So really, when you look at the packaging, it really you need to be a chemist to understand what all of those products. So Warren, you would probably be an expert at this.
Yeah. Great. I mean, yeah, I know it can get confusing, and you also have all those numbers, especially when you're having food. When we're talking about food, you look at the back of the packs and you've got all those numbers, and people just are totally confused. But what's on the ingredients list?
Yes, very confusing.
So you make some good points there. Okay, so you mentioned about women trying to get salon results at home, and a process they can go through. I assume this is a daily regime that they can go through to achieve these products, to achieve these results. Yeah.
Yeah. So Warren, what I'm going to do is just really quickly run through a daily routine that you can do at home morning. Mm-hmm. And so this is morning and night to get the optimal results. So the first thing that you have to do in your skincare regime is to wash your hands. A lot of people actually miss this step. If you have dirty hands, then all you're doing is rubbing that dirt into your face when you do your cleanser. So once you've washed your hands, then it's time to do your cleanser. Now, when you do your cleanser, you need to avoid harsh cleansers that strip your skin of all the natural oils.
So here comes one of those stupid questions. A cleanser, is it just like a soap or a detergent?
Well, it's not a soap or a detergent. It's a specific cleanser that would be suitable for your skin type.
But it takes out all the day's dirt and grime.
Correct.
Right.
Great question. Thanks, Warren. The other thing with the cleanser is the temperature of the water is also important. So you don't want to be using really, really hot water because that will hurt your skin. You don't want to be using icy cold water. So the optimum temperature for the water is tepid or lukewarm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So once you've done your cleanser, then the next step is to tone the skin. Now, this is important to adjust the pH of the skin. The other importance of the toner is so that after the toner, the products will actually be absorbed into the skin more effectively.
Oh, okay, so it's almost like a foundation, not in the true sense of the word foundation, but
to prep the skin for the following products.
Right.
So then the third step in the routine is if you're of that age where you are concerned with anti-aging, and this is generally after the age of 30 for mm-hmm. women, then we recommend that you use an anti-aging serum. And the serum helps to firm up the skin and also helps to diminish any fine lines that you may have.
Okay.
Now, after that, we recommend that you use a specific eye cream. And the reason for that is because the skin around your eyes is actually very, very thin.
Specific for what, the eye cream?
Specific eye cream that is designed for the eyes.
Right, gotcha. Yep.
And one thing that your listeners may not know, but the skin only absorbs the amount of product that it needs. So realistically, you only need to use a very, very small amount mm-hmm. When you're doing any of your skincare regime.
Okay.
So with the eye cream, you just put a tiny weeny bit on your ring finger. You rub that underneath your eyes. You don't make any contact with the eye, but just underneath the eye and then up to the brow bone, and just make nice little circular movements with that.
Not on your eyelids?
Not on your eyelids, no. Okay. We don't need to apply eye cream on our eyelids.
Right.
And then, of course, the last step in the routine is to moisturise. So if you're doing this in the morning, very, very important to apply moisturiser with a sunscreen in it,
okay,
so long as you're not allergic to sunscreen.
Right. Okay. I have a question regarding that.
Sure.
I always have this discussion with my partner regarding sunscreen. When we go out somewhere, say to the beach, I say, you're going to put sunscreen on your face? And she says, no, but I've already got the sunscreen in the moisturizer. But what level of sunblock is in those moisturizers? Is it a typical amount that you see with a regular sunscreen that you rub all over your body, or should people be more careful with what they put on their face in terms of sunblock protection factors?
Warren, it really depends on what you're doing that day. If you are going to the beach and you're going to be at the beach for a prolonged time,
yep,
then we recommend that you use a higher sunscreen with a higher SPF.
Right.
If you're just going to work in the morning, you're just jumping on the train and you're going to spend all day in an office,
yep,
then typically the sunscreen that you've got in your moisturiser will be enough to cover that.
Okay, great. That'll solve a few arguments at our place then. Thank you for that. All right, continue, sorry.
Okay, so if you're doing this routine at night, then a nighttime moisturiser will be the last step in the process. So a nighttime moisturiser is a little bit different to your daytime moisturiser in that it is more nourishing, and the purpose of the nighttime moisturiser is to repair the skin cells.
Great. Thanks for that, Linda. So that's quite a few steps. Relating this back to males, what would a typical male do out of that regime?
Well, if you're a male that shaves daily,
right,
I would recommend that a male uses a cleanser. In some products, they do have little exfoliating beads in them, mm-hmm, in the male cleansers. So I recommend that they use a cleanser.
Right.
If they are going to shave, then usually a post-shave balm is very good because that will soothe the skin. And then we also recommend a moisturiser,
okay,
for men. So it's very important that they also use a moisturiser with sunscreen in it.
Yep. Okay. With sunscreen in it as well, yeah.
Yes.
So I guess the key thing is they're shaving, and that really dries the skin out.
Yep. Yes, that's right.
All right. So then dry skin, I guess there'll be a lot of environmental factors as well that play a part in people's getting dry skin in on their face and all that.
Well, interestingly, Warren, 90% of how we look and how we age is down to environmental factors.
Right.
And only 10% of how our skin looks is down to genetics. So environmental factors are things like the sun, and
yep,
especially when we live in such a climate as Australia, the sun can be very, very harsh. There are environmental factors such as whether you smoke or not,
mm-hmm,
what you eat and drink, and what you actually put on your skin. That's also typically a factor that you can control.
Great. Okay. And I guess, what about people working in an office environment where they're constantly hit by air conditioning that could dry out their skin and things like that?
That's yes. Thank,
yeah,
you for pointing that out, Warren. I,
yeah,
forgot to mention that.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
That's a typical factor that affects your skin.
Okay. So, I mean, there's a whole heap of things there. Let's talk about exfoliating. Now, exfoliating is the removal of dead skin, as you pointed out to me earlier. When should we do that?
So exfoliating is really important, and we recommend that you do that once or twice a week, depending on how your skin reacts.
Oh, that I thought it'd be more frequent than that.
Look, there are some women that will do exfoliating daily.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing here is that you don't use an exfoliant that is really, really harsh or has got plastic beads in it.
Okay. How would you describe harsh? How would someone know if their exfoliator is harsh?
If their skin reacts really badly. If it blows up very, very red.
Mm-hmm.
So really you want to have a look at an exfoliant that has very, very fine fine grains in it that will do the job. So if you don't exfoliate, then what happens is that you get bacteria under those dead skin cells. So the bacteria will sit under the surface of the skin. What happens there is that you may get pimples or acne,
okay,
if you don't remove those dead skin cells. If your pores will look smaller if you don't exfoliate, and also the products that you apply after that, they will be absorbed much more effectively if you do exfoliate and remove the dead skin cells on a regular basis.
Okay, you mentioned acne, which then I guess the next question would come to mind is teenagers and acne. Would exfoliating help a lot with teenagers getting to that acne stage?
Absolutely.
Right.
Because if they don't exfoliate, then the bacteria will sit under the surface of the skin, and that's when the trouble starts.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thanks, Linda. Is there anything else that people should know about?
Just the last thing, Warren, is about using a mask.
Yep.
So
a mask. What is a mask?
A mask. A mask is something that you would apply once again, like an exfoliator. You would do that once or twice a week. And a mask has specific properties and requirements. So, for example, if you had very, very dry skin, you would apply a mask that would be hydrating to your skin. So you would put that on your face.
So a mask is like a cream that you just apply thick, with a thick coating?
Coating that you would apply to your face. If you have trouble with acne or you have a lot of impurities, then you would use a mask that would actually draw out those impurities and improve the texture of your skin. So that's also an important step in achieving those optimal results at home.
Okay. So you see in the movies people putting cucumbers on their eyes and all that and meat on their skin.
Sure.
You can try all that. Is that considered a mask?
It is considered a mask.
Okay. Great. Okay. Now, you summarised all that within like 5-10 minutes, but I guess it is a lot of effort, and now I've got a whole new appreciation of what women have to go through and do. So I'm never going to complain about shaving again.
Right. Good to hear.
Okay. I do have another question about lipstick.
Sure.
In terms of how do women know? I mean, you go to a shop and you see so many colours of lipsticks and shades of colours. How do you judge whether a good lipstick colour matches your skin tone?
Yeah. So, Warren, there's a basic rule with working out what colour lipstick you should wear. So you need to determine whether you are a cool person or a warm person. Now, how you do this is that you really just have to pick out two colours from your wardrobe, pick out two pieces of material, T-shirts, whatever you've got lying around at home.
Any specific colours?
Yeah. So if you pick up a bright pink one and you hold that up under your chin,
right,
just see how you look, whether that makes you look washed out.
Okay.
Or whether that suits you.
Interesting, yep.
Now, the other colour you want to grab is an orange colour. Orange and pink.
Right.
So the pink colour, if you look really good with the pink colour under your chin, then you're a cool person. And if you look great with the orange under your chin, then you are a warm person. So going back to the pink, if you're a cool person, then you want to be looking for shades such as mahogany or pink.
Is that more natural colours or is
more
that
sort of cool reds?
Cool reds, okay.
And any of your pink shades. Now, if you're a warm person and you look really great with an orange T-shirt on, then you should go for lipsticks that are in orange or in coral. They're in warm browns, peaches, and also bronze colours.
So the more earthy type of colours.
More earthy, yeah,
okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So, seeing being a photographer helps with
colour
schemes and colour tones. Great, okay. There's some great tips there, Linda. Thank you for sharing all those. Now, before we come to the end of the interview, have you got, a list of five top tips that you could share with our listeners? And it doesn't have to be in any particular order, but things that you get asked quite often or things you'd like to mention that are worthwhile for listeners to know about?
Sure. So I have a Facebook page where I put regular makeup tips, so I call it Makeup Monday.
Makeup Monday, yeah.
And these are some of the things that have been very, very popular that people have been asking me. So the first thing is about mascara. So how often should you change your mascara?
I have no idea.
So we recommend every 3 months because you do get a lot of bacteria that may sit in the mascara tube. So it's really important that you change that every 3 months. One of the other tips is about makeup brushes. Do you need to apply your makeup with a brush or can you simply use fingers? It's great to use a makeup brush because you will get your foundation on more evenly and your eyeshadow. And that brings me to the tip about how often you should wash your makeup brushes. If you're a germaphobe, then you would probably be washing your makeup brushes every week.
Doesn't that the moisture and the makeup don't really mix? Doesn't that deteriorate the brushes quickly?
Well, we always use synthetic brushes, which means that they don't hold as much product.
Mm-hmm.
So just wash them in a very mild shampoo. Wash them once a week, wash them once a fortnight, and then you just shake them out and just leave them to dry overnight.
Right, okay.
All so
right.
That's a tip
okay.
For your listeners.
Anything else?
And the last tip, Warren, is about how to choose your lipstick shade. So going back to the warm and cool topic that I mentioned before, a lot of women apply the lipstick when they go into a department store. They apply the lipstick on the back of their hand to check the colour.
I didn't know that, but now I do. So I would have thought you'd apply it to your lips, but...
Yeah, you're not allowed to do
that. Ah, okay.
So what you want to do with your lipstick is actually apply it to the tip of your finger.
All right, okay.
And that's because that is the closest colour to the lip colour.
Ah, because obviously there's more blood vessels near your fingertips than to the back of your palm.
To the back of your hand.
Back of your hand, sorry, yeah.
So the back of your hand can get can be out in the sun, so that's not necessarily the same colour as what it's going to look like on your lip. So always test the lipstick on the tip of your finger to get the most accurate colour.
Ah, that is a great tip. Thank you for that. Excellent. Fantastic, Linda. Okay. You shared a heap today. Thank you. And I'm sure that the ladies out there and even the men would have got a lot of good information out of that. Now, if people want to learn more about what you do, where's the best places to contact you?
The best place to contact me is over the telephone or online.
Right.
So I have my own website and the address,
the
address there is lindaklukas.myarbonne.com.au.
Right, I'll put that information down in the show notes. Yep.
Fantastic. I also have a Facebook page where I share a lot of tips and advice every single day. And the address for that is Linda Klukas, Independent Consultant.
Great. Okay. Now, I always invite our listeners to ask questions of our guests. You're happy to come back in the future if there are questions to answer them?
Sure, I'd love to.
Great.
Thanks, Warren.
And I'm sure there'll be quite a few, especially those, any other information people want to know about tips and applying makeup and things like that. Okay. Now, finally, I know that you're running a workshop later this month. What's that on?
Warren, I'm running a makeup workshop. And I have secured a special guest for that.
Okay.
The special guest's name is Vivian Ashworth, and Vivian is a world-class makeup artist.
Okay, fantastic.
So the workshop is on February the 25th. It's a Tuesday morning. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, and how can people find more about that?
Yeah, people can jump onto Eventbrite to purchase a ticket. Tickets for that are $20. And for that $20, you will get a goodie bag. Mm-hmm. You will get fantastic advice from Vivian on how to apply a very simple makeup and how to also add to that so that if you are going out at nighttime, you can add a few colours to do that. And also there will be raffle prizes. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that.
Great. Sounds fantastic. Okay. Thank you so much for today. Really appreciate your time and I'm sure our listeners would have got a lot out of it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Warren.
No problems. Bye, Linda.
Bye.
There you go. Some great tips from Linda. Ladies, what do you think? Are you doing something similar to what Linda spoke about or do you have another process that works for you? Both Linda and I would love to get your feedback. Speaking about feedback, how do you think I went? Could you sense I was a little bit uncomfortable throughout that interview? I'm not really sure why. It was probably because it is a subject that I don't really talk about that often. So I would love your feedback on that. Did I ask the right sort of questions? Or is there anything else that I could take on board for future episodes? I am planning on interviewing a makeup artist sometime soon, so it'd be great to get some tips on that. Okay, that's it. Thank you for joining me once again. Please leave any further questions for Linda in the comments section below or on our Facebook page, which is Valare Photography. Take care and hopefully we'll speak soon. Bye.